It's not new process. We've got to go to new process. We've got to find a better and cleaner way.
The Virginia General Assembly has the final say on lifting the uranium mining ban and only meets at the beginning of every year for a few months. Virginia Uranium's attempt to lift the ban this past year were squashed, but they are taking steps to ensure the issue is discussed during the 2012 session. Members of the Virginia Energy and Mining Committee refused to discuss the issue until the National Academy of Sciences finishes their report, which is scheduled for completion at the end of this year. Brad Kuttner, FSRN, Pennsylvania County, Virginia.
Community-supported journalism funded Brad's story on uranium mining. For more information, go to spot.us. And that's the program for today. The newscast was produced by Catherine Comp. Headlines editor was Nell Abram. Our technical production team at KPFA in Berkeley is Rose Katapchi and Scott Pham. FSRN welcomes your questions, comments and news tips. Write to us, comments at fsrn.org. For more news stories, specials and our documentaries, visit our website fsrn.org and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/fsrn. Thanks for listening. In San Francisco, I'm Danny Wood.
You're listening to WESU 88.1 FM Middletown. I'm Jay Cherry. Live in the studios, this is Voice of the City. Got a special guest in the house. I got Bill Shaka in the house. I'm going to call these guys up on the studio, make sure we got our levels real well there.
You got us
on
there?
I do. Everybody good? You hear me? Mm-hmm. We got to get on some headphones. So I got Bill Shaka and the Soul Shakers, or the Soul Shaker in here tonight. I got Tony Cucaro. Did I say it right?
Cucaro.
That's right. Cucaro. So I got Tony Cucaro on guitar and background vocals here, and he's hanging out. And I got Bill Shaka. And, well, it's very nice for you to come in, Bill.
Thank you, Jennifer. It's been a long time since I've graced the WESU premises. You know, back in 1979, in the basement of the building up at Foss Hill, I used to do a blues show for a short. I was I don't want to give my age, but 19 years old back then, and that was it. That was my spinning blues records back in 1979. Seems like a long time ago. And there is still a tape out there of me doing that show.
Very cool.
I should have bought that in. We could have just aired that tape.
Well, no, we want you here and now, too, with a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So you've been down over in Louisiana for the last quarter century or so, and let's see, a little bit of history on Mr. Shaka here. So during the late 70s, while a restless delinquent,
not me,
Bill Shaka's wide-eyed adventure into the then subversive world of dem dirty blues began. An encounter with one evening with a harmonica playing heavy, the legendary James Cotton would change his world forever. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I remember that particular evening. I went up to see a show at Lake Compounds. And the opening band was a band called Stovall Brown, which are legends around this area. I think they're actually a Rhode Island band. And there's a whole scene in Rhode Island. For some odd reason, it must be in the water. But anyway, so I was talking to Stovall, and he said, you know, I was telling him that I was played harp, and, well, come on backstage. So sure enough, I went backstage, and I had my harps with me and started playing for James Cotton. And James Cotton showed me a few things on harp till he finally, got sick of hearing me squealing. So he basically told me to shut up.
All right.
But you know what? It was a really important thing for me. You know, as being a teenager in having a guy that I looked upon as a you know the Buddha, the blues harp. You know, I mean, to give me pointers back there, patient enough to have me sit backstage with him and show me things, and critique, and then tell me to shut up meant the most.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's good constructive criticism.
Yes. It was taken well. Yeah. You know.
Because I've seen you play a couple of times, and each time I'm just thoroughly into it and very, very happy with the sound you're producing, including seeing you Fat Tuesday. It was down in Bridgeport at some place. I don't remember the place.
Boots,
I remember
two
you.
Boots.
Two Boots. That's right. And he put the harp in that cup, that glass, your special glass. You got your glass? Oh, he's got the glass. I was blown away.
I've got a story about behind this glass, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, I do. I don't know if you'd rather. Well, we don't have all day, though.
Yeah, well, we can talk about the glass, too. Well, just a little bit more. I just wanted to talk a little bit because this is a subject that interests me very much so, and that is about the hurricane down in New Orleans, Katrina, that all of us know so well. And what that was like, and I mean, I've never been in New Orleans, but I've heard many wonderful things about it, and I was so devastated watching that unfold on TV and hearing about all the people and what was going on and our government.
Yes. Well, I have a song later on to do about that I wrote. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, oddly enough, I've never seen any of that footage. I've seen, you know, maybe if I just happened to be in a room and the television was on and they're showing some footage of, but I have never intentionally gone and looked at any shows or footage or even the news clippings at the time that everybody else throughout the country or world, for that matter, was seeing. Because I was holed up in a flooded out house, so I during the midst of that whole thing, so I never got to see any of that stuff when it was happening. Well, I got to see it firsthand.
Well, you were living it.
But there was a whole, you know, I was in the house for a week, and luckily, you know, everybody else was ground level on the property that I lived on, and there was a few other homes there. And everybody had gone elsewhere to higher ground, and I stayed behind because I had, at the time, I had a bunch of cats, a couple of dogs, a turtle. Then my wife and daughter went to Houston, and I had my axes to break out of the roof if necessary. And I moved some stuff upstairs at a split level I was in, and I lost most of my stuff, but I saved, you know, guitars. Music, things like that, and everything else pretty much was lost. Because my house was raised about 3 feet off the ground, I only had about 3 feet inside the house. So those other people ground level lost everything.
Yeah, that was a great devastation for our country and our sweet little city of New Orleans.
Yeah, I was pretty, you know, I was always prepared for stuff like that. You know, I had a Tupperware kit, you know, full of batteries, candle, flashlight, a little shortwave radio, and I always had plenty of water, canned food, matches, I'll tell you, so I was informed by listening to the radio, and it was surreal. I mean, just looking back on it now, it just seems like a dream, you know? I mean, it was reminded me of the end times.
Yeah, absolutely. That's like a hard thing to do is to lose your things and going through, you know, the wrath of Mother Nature. So how long did it take before you had to, like, just, you know, raise your hands in the air and leave?
Well, I was set to stay there for the long haul, but I was working at the time, as well as playing music, I was working for a tour company.
Yeah,
and,
that's right.
And I was a tour guy. And so the gentleman who owned the business had a bunch of canoes.
Uh-huh.
So everybody had lost contact with me. Obviously, there was no home phone. My cell phone had gone dead. There was no power, so I couldn't charge it. My wife was didn't know if I was dead or alive. So finally, about a week in, the boss of the company which I worked for, he canoed in. And I heard him calling my name, and he canoed right up to my front door, and I was hesitant to leave. By that point, I'd been in the house for a week, so I said, "Well, what's the difference if I stay any longer?" And he assured me that they were going to come and force me to leave, which I don't think that would have happened, but I went. I took the two dogs. I put enough food and water out for my cats, and we went off in a canoe. And they did let him in. They let him. You know, there was all kinds of blocks, military and law enforcement. They wouldn't let anybody into the city. But somehow they let him through in his canoe. And so we left, and then we came back a few days later and got my cats out with cat carriers and took out the back seat of my little Toyota and drove them all up here to Connecticut because I have family members up here. And we found homes for most of the cats, and we had to board my dogs for a while, and we went back down and lived in a FEMA trailer out in the swamps after that, and before winding up in Birmingham, Alabama, eventually.
Yeah, so it's quite a journey.
Yeah, quite a journey, and I'll tell you, I miss New Orleans. I consider New Orleans my hometown.
Yeah.
I always will. That's what it means to me, you know, and it was a long time adjusting to life up here.
I imagine it would be. And so have you been back down there, and what's it like?
I left there in 2007, and I was down there when things were still fresh as far as the damage goes, it was, you know, we knew it was going to be a long time coming before things were built back up again and people were back on their feet. And living in the FEMA trailer, although we are grateful of the FEMA trailer, it was not really suitable so much for our family and pets and so forth. And when my wife had a job opportunity in Birmingham, she took it and we left. And since that point, I have not been back down to New Orleans. Although I understand I have friends down there, and I understand that it is back up and running.
All right.
Of course, it's changed the whole geographic landscape and the affordability of what people.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
and
that's a whole other thing
yeah.
that we can get into politically here. You know, the what I consider the ethnic cleansing to a degree.
Just sad.
Yeah, and I don't have that much faith in the government.
That's where the culture is and all the
yes.
eclectic nature of all the peoples, not just the rich peoples, because then it's bland and boring.
Right, exactly.
You
got to
have
a big melting pot,
a little bit of everybody.
And there sure was, you know.
Yeah.
So there was a big Middle Eastern community down there. And I'll tell you, after 9/11, well, I don't want to get too much off the track here, but I remember after 9/11, there was this Middle Eastern restaurant called Jerusalem's I used to go to. And one day I saw the FBI carrying out boxes of files, and they closed this guy down. And I said, man, what a shame. This guy has been here with his little restaurant with his family for years and years. They're shutting him down. They're singling him out because he's of Arab descent.
Oh, paranoia gets you nowhere. All right, so let's get into a little playing. We got this first song here. What's this one?
This one's called Chicken Heads. This is one of the only ones we'll be doing today that I haven't written myself. This is by a guy named Bobby Rush. Bobby Rush was born in northern part of Louisiana in a little town called Homer. And he wound up in Jackson, Mississippi. He's still performing to this day. He's probably up around late 70s now. Still performing, a Chitlin' Circuit performer. He
nice.
Has had a crossover success through the years. And he puts on quite a show. That's all I can say. If you ever have a chance, well, you probably won't have a chance to see him up here because he's basically a Southern performer. But anybody that has access, I know he has some videos out and such. Anybody has access to any Bobby Rush, check that out.
All right.
This is called Chicken Heads. This was a top. Actually, this reached number 43 on the Billboard charts back in 1972, I believe it was.
Yeah. Nice, Bill Shaka, WESU.
Slow boil, no money for oil. My daddy told me I'm a dying bed. Give up your heart, but don't you lose your head. You come around, girl, what did I do? I lost my heart and my head went too. Little girl, you sure can't cook. Little girl, you got me hooked. When you cook that chicken, better save me the head. Well, I should be home just lying in bed. Dreaming about you. Just thinking about you. You know, I love that girl. I love my chicken head too. Without your love, I can't go on. But the feeling I have for you, it ain't too strong. Let me in, let me in, let me in, let me in on it. Mississippi River rolled on and on. When I'm loving you's a doggone shame. I've been sitting in jail doing a flat 99. Little girl, you sure can't cook. Little girl, you got me hooked. When you cook that chicken, baby, save me the head. Well, I should be home just lying in bed. Just dreaming about you. Just thinking about you. You know I love my girl. Well, I love my chicken head too. Without your love.
WESU live in the studio with Bill Shaka. Ooh la la. Chicken heads. Man, you could play that harp.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to take a short little break. Got a very important public service announcement. Stay tuned. We got more Bill Shaka live in the studio, and we're going to be spinning some of his favorite tracks and talking about music and all that good stuff. WESU 88.1 FM, Middletown. See you in just about a minute.
For almost 20 years, the Buttonwood Tree Cultural and Performing Arts Center has been supporting the creative endeavors of artists and potential artists of Middletown and beyond by offering the community a facility for self-expression as a performance space, gallery, and bookstore. The Buttonwood Tree provides support to local, regional, and national professional and amateur artists, students, and those interested in exploring their artistic capacity. Located at 605 Main Street in Middletown, directly under the historic Erewhonie Hotel, the Buttonwood Tree functions as a living room to the city, hosting live acoustic bluegrass, jazz, folk, poetry, open mic events, and much more. The Buttonwood Tree is a nonprofit organization operated by North End Arts Rising and is supported by the Connecticut Commission on Culture and Tourism and the Middletown Commission on the Arts. You can learn more about the Buttonwood Tree online at buttonwood.org.
WESU 88.1 FM Middletown. Let me get these guys back in the studio here. All right, can you hear me, guys? There we go. Are you there?
Yes, we are.
All right, good. You know, I got to make sure I get the soundboard all right and ready. Man, that's some good stuff.
Yeah, that was the stuff that made Bobby Rush famous.
Nice. Very nice. And we got Tony Cuquero over there playing guitar and background vocals, and he's a Meriden native. This is very nice. Thank you for coming on in.
You're welcome.
Lifelong devotion to guitar in the early teens, part of various Connecticut bands for the past 22 years.
Long time.
Gigs have taken him through the entire Northeast Corridor, and now playing here with Mr. Shaka and the Soul Shakers. Ooh la la. So you guys got any gigs up and coming that we can talk about up here?
Yeah, we got a couple things happening. I know that Tony and I have a duo thing happening in at a vineyard in Clinton, Chamard Vineyards. I think that's next month. Matter of fact, I know it's next month because it's Friday the 13th.
Ooh,
my favorite day to play.
I love Friday the 13th.
Yes, I do too.
13th's a good number.
Friday the 13th.
Excellent.
And I think the Soul Shakers have another gig coming up in May as well at the Two Boots in Bridgeport on a Saturday evening, the 21st. By the way, you can go to Shaka and the Soul Shakers, S-H-A-K-A, and the Soul Shakers at,
.com.
There
and
you go.
I will be presenting a link also on my blog at www.gcherrypresents.blogspot.com. We'll have a recorded version of the show and also a link to your website.
Very good. Anything else happening? I was contacted by Anne-Marie Cannata down at Buttonwood about doing a benefit down there for them outdoors in May as well. And we also have some big festival things in the midst of happening, one being the Sail Fest in New London, another being the Tattoo and Music Fest up in Hartford, which draws several thousand people as well. So, you know, I love playing to those built-in crowds, you know, because that really, you know, it's kind of like you can really do your thing.
Absolutely.
Get down that crowd participation thing. And so,
absolutely. You know. Absolutely. So what you want to do next? We can play some more live or you want to spin a song?
Yeah, let's spin a song. You know, speaking of New Orleans, I just, you know, I've got some New Orleans influences here, one being James Booker, my biggest influence. And he has something to do with a lot of these tracks, not all of them. But this first track here is a track by Huey Piano Smith and Bobby Marchand. And it's called Don't You Just Know It. It was 1958 recording. Recorded down at Cosimo Matassa's studio on Rampart Street in New Orleans. Incidentally, that establishment is now a laundromat. So you can go get your laundry done, where all of those famous recordings were made. Cosimo Matassa Studio, man, they recorded for anybody from Jerry Lee Lewis to Little Richard to at the cream of the crop of New Orleans stuff, Fats Domino, and so on and on and on and on. And it's now, there is a plaque up. commemorating the establishment, but it's a laundromat. So you know, the place was always had a dirty vibe to it. You know, some of that stuff coming out of New Orleans, some of New Orleans back in the 50s, and you can't clean it up by putting a laundromat there.
No, you can't. All right, WESU 88.1 FM Milltown. Don't you just know it? WESU 88.1 FM Middletown. I'm Jay Cherry, live in a studio with Bill Shaka, and you were just listening to Don't You Just Know It, and that's Huey Piano Smith and Bonnie Mankin. And let's see if we get these guys up in here. Hey, guys. You hear me? Ooh, that's
there you go.
You could call him Bonnie because he was a female impersonator.
I wasn't really.
That's the truth.
Really?
He would perform in drag. And you know, he was one of the primary singers for Huey Piano Smith. Now, the title of this song, Don't You Just Know It, that came out of, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Rudy Ray Moore. Rudy Ray Moore was the black comedian who did Dolomite, the Dolomite series, blaxploitation stuff back in the early 70s. Well, he was the limo driver for Bobby Marchand and Huey Piano Smith for a while. And so his response to anything, any question asked or anything said would be, don't you just know it? So they built that song around that phrase. And sure enough, they had a huge hit with it. And matter of fact, James Booker, while on the road, even though they called it the Huey Piano Smith Review, Huey Piano Smith wasn't even on the road with him. It was James Booker playing piano. But nobody knew the difference. Back in those days, your picture wasn't plastered everywhere. You showed up, you had a date. They knew there was a hit on the radio. They didn't really necessarily know what you looked like, you know. So
it didn't matter.
Yeah.
As long as music's playing, that's all that matters. All right, so we got another one. You want to spin it or you want to play some live?
Let's spin one more, and then we'll go into something that I wrote. We have Earl King. I'm Gonna Keep On Trying, 1972. Earl King wrote a lot of good New Orleans tunes, a couple of which we do. We do one called Mama and Papa, Do Re Mi. He also did a song, Come On, Let the Good Times Roll. Not the one by Shirley and Lee. Come on, baby, let the good time roll. Not that one. One that Jimi Hendrix actually recorded. Come on, baby, let the good times roll.
Yeah.
Did that one. He did Big Chief, he wrote. We also do that. a trick bag, which we also do. Another one called Street Parade. Anyway, he recorded this back in 72. This was initially supposed to be for Atlantic Records, Jerry Wexler. And for some odd reason, Atlantic didn't take him up on the offer after it had been recorded with Alan Toussaint. And that's a name you're going to find popping up all over this stuff. You know, Alan Toussaint, man, he was a brilliant arranger, songwriter. And he had his own label called Kansu Records. And anyway, this track right here is Earl King, Back by the Meters.
It's called, all right, nice.
I'm Going to Keep on Trying.
Here we go, WESU Middletown. WESU 88.1 FM, Middletown. I'm gonna keep on trying. Earl King, and I got Bill Shaka live in the studio playing some cool stuff. You guys hear me?
Yes, indeed.
Excellent. Oh, man, the studio is rocking.
That's right.
I'm loving it.
Well, right now, Jennifer, we're gonna do something that's more of an, in a in the folk vein.
All right.
Of what we normally, well, something we normally don't do stuff like this. And called the Toxic Swamp Blues. It's just a little, that story you were asking me about earlier, the floods in New Orleans. Well, it's centered around that in my experiences. We have Mike Arafe in the studio here, and I've done several projects with Mike over the course of time. And the lyrics, at least to this one, Mike, you can decipher what they are. They pretty much say it straightforward, unlike some of that other stuff that
I've... Double Entendre.
Right, well, some of that other stuff I recorded down there at the studio, it's like, okay, what was he on? You know? I mean, so, okay. I was on that toxic swamp water here. Okay, here we go.
WESU 88.1 FM Middletown, Bill Shaka and the Soul Shakers. So, you know, I'm listening to the lyrics on there. I just imagine it's so hard. for you.
Yeah, well, you know, life's difficult anyway.
It is. And so, you know, it just... Yeah, what I love about being on college radio or commercial-free radio is this ain't no commercial radio, and we can say it like it is here. And it is the crooked politicians crooking it all about. And there was this like little speech I heard recently. They were saying, it was like a clip, a GW there saying, oh, yeah, my friend, I'm going to be sitting on his porch soon. You know, and that's not the case for the regular people living there that gives New Orleans its flavor. Like I said, like we both were saying, it's an eclectic diversity of folks that create the flavor.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better.
So the prospects of you being able to go back home are probably quite slim at this point.
At this point, you know, I have... My daughter is in school here. She's, you know, we had actually moved her around several times. So I lived in Phoenix, Arizona for a spell back in the, going back some years. And, you know, from Phoenix to New Orleans to after New Orleans, she was actually given independent day school up in Middlefield.
Oh, nice. I used to work there years ago.
Gave her a little, they were doing their part, you know, a scholarship, you know, she attended a year there. Then she came back down to Louisiana with us and wound up in Birmingham, of course, then back up here where she now goes to Valley Regional High School in Deep River.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want her to finish out her schooling here anyhow.
Yeah.
And who knows with the state of the what's happening here in the economy and who knows what's coming down in the next couple of years, you know.
Oh, Lord.
There's some scary things from the information that I have. So,
yeah, me too. And I always say, you know, it's a good thing to have a family, food, music to keep us afloat, right?
Yeah. We got a couple of those covered. You know, the only thing that's not really covered is the finances.
Yeah, you know? I hear you.
But all I can say is invest in silver or gold.
Ooh la la. Bulk foods too?
Yes. And not everybody can afford the gold, of course. It's reached its all-time high today from what I just saw. I had an update. The all-time high gold reach. I can't remember what the figure is.
Yeah. These are some scary times. It brings me to a place of pulling in and evaluating what's real important.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back live in the studio with Bill Shaka. We have a very important public service announcement. We'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
WESU 88.1 FM, Middletown, live in the studio with Bill Shaka. All right, let's see. Where are we at? Are we going to play and spin a tune or what?
Yeah, because this one right here is another one of my major musical influences, a guy named Professor Longhair, Henry Rowland Byrd. Best known for the song Tipitina. And Mardi Gras New Orleans is another one he wrote. And any carnival season, you're going to hear that. Well, I've been to New Orleans. I'm going to see the Mardi Gras. You're going to hear that over. You're going to hear that about 2 million times. Too bad he wasn't alive to reap some of the benefits on that recording. But this one was recorded in 1979 with an all-star band he had on this. He had Dr. John, incidentally, playing guitar on this, on the whole album. Didn't play a lick of piano. He played guitar on the whole album. A guy named Johnny Vodakovich on drums. Stellar New Orleans jazz cat, Albert Uganda Roberts on congas. And this was an album called Crawfish Fiesta. And the album came out the day that he passed away.
Wow.
In 1980, beginning of 1980. And so it was a great produced album by Bruce Eaglauer of Alligator Records. And Dr. John calls Professor Longhair the father of New Orleans funk, and I gotta second that. He was the father of New Orleans funk. But my favorite band that he had during the day, he was recording back in the 1940s. 49, he recorded for Jerry Wexler at Atlantic. He came down on one of those field trips down to New Orleans, and he recorded him doing a solo thing. And he had a band at that time called the Shuffling Hungarians. And I think, you know what? If I ever have a band, I'm going to call it the Shuffling Dagos.
WESU 88.1 FM Middletown, whole lot of love. Oops. WESU 88.1 FM Middletown. A whole lot of love and Professor Longhair, and I got Bill Shock alive in the studio, and these are his choices of things to spin. He's also playing some originals and some things in the studio. It's so nice to have you here. Thank you so much for coming on down. What a pleasure.
I appreciate you having us on, and you know, this is the town that I was born in.
Nice.
You know, I hadn't been here for years and years, been all over, everywhere, and elsewhere. And it's nice to come here and do these local, you know, whether it's the Buttonwood on occasion or come over here to the station, you know, that's I enjoy that.
Nice. It's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
So we're running low on time, so okay. I wanted to get you to play some more live stuff, please.
Yeah, okay. This one right here I wrote called Sugar Mama. Now, there was a gentleman named John Lee Sonny Boy Williamson back in the later 30s who wrote a song called Sugar Mama. I know, but this really has very little to do with that one. You know, it's like anything else in any other music, especially within the blues realm or rock and roll realm, or you know, people borrow. People take a line here or a verse here. And then, you know, to me, it's like this is nothing like the John Lee Sonny Boy Williamson's version or John Lee Hooker's version or Howlin' Wolf's version of the tune. This is just something where I put my own lyrics to and our own rhythm to. And we might have used a verse here or there. So it's called Sugar Mama.
Mississippi. Well, I trucked down to Vacherie. That's where all them sugar cane fields are. I was gonna take my Creole lady back home with me to New Orleans. You know, when I got down to the Vacherie, I went straight to that old sugar farm. Couldn't find my sugar mama nowhere around. So I asked her daddy where she's at. You know what that old man done told me? He said he done leased out to that Domino sugar cane refinery. Well, ain't that some good old lowdown? Well, I went on home, baby, home. And had my hot dog around my knees. Well, I went on. About. mama. You got the best old sugar town. Sugar mama, sugar mama. You got the best old sugar town. Come from straight down Louisiana. Hunt your daddy sugar plum. Yeah, one more time. Well, sugar mama, sugar mama, sugar mama, come on home. Well, sugar mama, sugar mama, come on home. I want you to come home to me, Lord. Don't be no rolling stone. Let's be on home.
Yeah, WESU 88.1 FM Middletown, live in the studio with Bill Shaka and Tony Kokoro on the guitar there. Man, you can play that harp.
Thank you.
That's pretty cool. And for you folks out there listening, like, I see in Bill the spirit of music taking over him. It's one of the things I like about watching you perform. When I saw you performing at the Buttonwood Tree down at for the Nate Simmons Appreciation Day, I was like, there's a person that's feeling that music. Yeah. I see the spirit.
Well, you know, if it ain't about the spirit, then what's it about, you know? I mean, you're in the wrong business if you can't feel it.
That's right.
Or whether it's a business or not a business.
That's,
you know?
Right. I mean, yeah. That's right. So we're running low on time.
Yes,
I think
we got
time for one more.
Okay. Well, then we'll cut out my main man, James Booker, here, who was the biggest influence. We'll do one more live one for you. We'll bring it out with an up-tempo swing thing. This
All
is
right,
something
nice.
Called Big Ma Moo.
Big Ma Moo. I think I've heard you play this live. Okay.
And in this one, this is called the new Big Ma Moo. This is not the Link Davis Big Ma Moo that was originally done as a Texas swing slash waltz thing. This has nothing to do with that again. Once again, it's using the name Big Ma Moo, but that's about the only similarity there is to that song.
Nice.
Okay, let me make sure I got the right harmonica here. Let me dip into my National American Bank in New Orleans money bag. And okay, this is in the key of let me tell the band, this is in the key of B flat, right?
I'm playing B flat.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, indeed. Okay. Ready? 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4. Telling me what to do. I don't want nobody telling me what to do. Well, I'm going on back, Lord, I'm going back to Big Mama. I'm going to Mama, Louisiana, going to get my taters boiled. Don't doubt me. I'm going to Mama, Louisiana, going to get my ashes hauled.
Big Mama,
we going to Big Mama.
Big Mama,
I said Big Mama.
Big Mama,
I said a Big Mama.
Big Mama,
where we going on back, Lord, going back to Big Mama. Swap it. Baton Rouge,
to the north on 13. The big my move, I said, the big my move. Where the big my move? Where we going on back, Lord? Go back and big my move. I said, the jukebox playing old Cliff the Chenier. What are everybody gonna be high on beer? Big my move. Where the big my move? Where we going on back, Lord? Go back to big my move. Yes, indeed, Tim Sparks. Jennifer Schaefer, Tony Cucaro, Mike Arafay, we all going down to Big Mambo. Woo! Big Mambo. Uh-huh. Sucky, 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 baby. So I'll sing it one more time. I said, big my move.
Big my move.
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 Where we going on back, Lord, I'm going back to big my move. Yeah, one more time. Big my move.
Big my move.
I said, big my move.
Big my move.
I said, big my move.
Big my move.
Where the big my move.
Big my move.
Where we going on.
Thank you so much, Bill Shaka. A lot of fun.
Yes, it was.
So our time has come to an end. We got more great things happening here at WESU with Bill Revel up next on to the airways. Thank you again so, so very much. It was a pleasure. And WESU 88.1 FM, Middletown.